everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. She lived the life that many only dream of. At age 19 in 1955, she was one of Chicago's highest paid female executives, with over 250 women in her charge for then Slenderella International. While attending the Dallas Theater Center, an extension of Baylor University, Connie also ran the John Robert Powers School of Modeling in Dallas, Texas. From there, she would pursue a career in theater as an actress for MGM Studios, as one of the last actors to come under contract, garnering minor roles in the now TV classic Route 66 and others. She would meet, entertain, and come to personally know some of Hollywood's elite, Lucille Ball, Frank Sinatra, Steve McQueen, Ally McGraw, Clint Eastwood, William Holden, and David Janssen, just to name a few. Her annual Academy Award party she would host from her palatial home on Southridge Drive in Palm Springs was a rogues gallery of who's who, shared with her fiancé, a highly successful businessman and oil tycoon who would later die in her arms suddenly. Anyone on the outside looking in would have thought, she has it all. Money, fame, furs, jewels, Rolls Royces, her own championship backgammon tournament hosted by royalty, trips to Monte Carlo and around the world. But this jet setter was about to find out how really jaded her life had become. Would you welcome with me today for this very special broadcast of Testimony, a celebration 35 years in the making, owner and president of the McNally Company Antiques, former publisher and editor, and now editor emeritus of internationally known Silver Magazine, philanthropist, and my honored guest and longtime friend, Mrs. Connie Benson McNally. Connie, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Connie, we've known each other for over 30 years now, and you have been used by God in my life in a very significant way, for which I will always be grateful. But that's another story for another time. Today, in part one of our two-part conversation, I want to take our listeners to the night that would forever change your life and the lives of everyone around you. Connie, please tell us that story.
Thank you, Jensine. Well, before we go to that night, I have to give you a little background. Prior to that night, I had the life everybody would love to live. I had a home in Southridge Drive before Bob Hope ever built on the top. My next-door neighbor was Steve McQueen. I had a home in Bel Air and a flat at the Carlisle in New York, a yacht that had 22 in help, and a flat in London. This all belonged to my fiancé, who passed away in my arms on February 3rd, 1973. But prior to that, we were going to be married on the 14th, and Bill Holden was going to be our best man. But prior to that, he decided he should throw a big backgammon tournament for me because I loved to play backgammon and had been taught at an early age. So he called in Prince Alexis Obolensky, and Obi came to the desert and set up this wonderful Connie Benson backgammon tournament. It was in January of 1973, and people like Prince Mario Ruspoli, Billy Braniff, R.J. Reynolds, and bridge great Oswald Jacoby came. People came from all over the world. It was quite the event. We had it at the Racquet Club, and then it went on to the Tennis Club. It was the social event of 1973. But in February, Ralph had gotten the Hong Kong flu and passed away in my arms, and my entire life changed. At my tournament, we gave Bucciolotti cups and trophies that were just fabulous pieces. Everyone was so excited to have been there, and when they heard that Ralph died, I received many phone calls from people all over the world, and one of them was Prince Obolensky. And he said, "Connie, we're having a tournament in New York. Everyone misses you, and you're such a good backgammon player. Please come to New York and mourn with us." So I did go to New York, and that began my career as a jet-setting backgammon player and a teacher of backgammon. Lucille Ball was one of my pupils. Lucy called me and said, "I need you to teach me how to play backgammon." I had people like Bill Holden and Kirk Douglas and all sorts of people, actors and actresses, that wanted me to teach them backgammon, and it was a pleasure to teach them. However, there was such an emptiness in my life. I'd fly to Monte Carlo. I met Princess Grace. We had our gala on Bastille Day. It was all good times, but I never had any peace or joy. It was very difficult time for me. And in 1975, I went to Las Vegas for the World Championship Backgammon Tournament, and there I met Bill McNally. He wanted to meet me, and he came with a friend of mine who made the backgammon tables for a club that Jilly opened with Frank Sinatra called Le Chouette, and they had asked me to be their backgammon professional. So I taught backgammon at Le Chouette and was the hostess with the mostest. I wore gowns every night. It was a private club to which Lucy belonged, Jean Klein belonged. You can name the people that were there. And it was very wonderful. So we had the second Connie Benson backgammon tournament in Palm Springs. And of course, Frank Sinatra was there. Everyone. From there, I went, as I said, I went to Las Vegas and I met Bill McNally. And this was after the second backgammon tournament. And we met in January. We married in July. And everything started going down from there. Bill left his game store he had in San Francisco and moved to Palm Springs, where I was the hostess with the mostess. And Le Chouette closed. The tables were sold off because whoever was managing it did not do a good job. And here I was without a job, but I started teaching backgammon at another club. And Lucy would come and we'd have tournaments there. But nothing we touched would turn to gold. It all turned to ashes. So I had decided I'd lived my life to the fullest. I'd been everywhere, done everything, knew everyone. And if this was all there was, I didn't want any more of it. My marriage was my third marriage, and it was not a good one. We were going downhill. My son was 17, 18, and on drugs. My life was a shambles, and we were being evicted from our home. So I decided this would be a good time for me to bow out of this life and take my own life. Prior to doing that, though, that day I did not smoke, I did not drink, I did not do anything that would cloud my mind. I went to bed. Bill came to bed with me. He was sleeping and sound asleep. I'm laying in bed thinking how I could kill myself and who would get what I had, what little things I had left to give, my jewelry, whatever. And as I'm planning this, I'm laying in bed and I see a television set go on with my life passing before me. As I watched it, I saw my mother pregnant with me and the rest of my life. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I saw in a movie that when your life passes before you, or I heard it somewhere, you're going to die. And I thought, good, I don't have to kill myself. And as my life progressed on this film, I got to the age of 16, and the movie jumped from age 16 to 19 with me walking down the aisle with my first husband, Dick Benson, all the way up to the present time. I sat up in bed and I said, wait a minute, before I die, I want to see what happened in those 3 years between 16 and 19. And as if a clicker went on, there's the TV again, with my mother pregnant all the way up to when I'm 16, jumping again to when I'm 19, to the present time. Now I sat up totally and said, I need to see what happened in those 3 years. As I said this, the movie went on again, and when we got to when I was 16, I was sitting at my dining room table in Chicago with my best friend Gail, and we're doing the cards. I could read the cards because my grandmother from Greece had taught me how to read them. They weren't tarot cards, they're regular cards. I could read the Greek coffee grounds. We were drinking coffee grounds because my mother knew how to do that. And I could just read anything because I felt it was a gift to me from my family. So we're telling fortunes and we're reading the cards and drinking the coffee and reading the grounds. And I see at that moment where I had taken God out of my life and made money my God, because Gail and I made a pact. We would marry rich, we'd be rich, or we would be famous. And that was what we were going to do. As I saw this, I said, Satan, get out of my life. I have never said anything like that before, and I don't know where it came from. But as I said it, my dog, Happy Holden, who was to my left, jumped up and down and gave out a yelp. My cat, Willie, at the foot of the bed, ran all the way up to my chest and ran back down. And I'm sitting up in bed, Bill's sound asleep, and I see a fog coming in under the curtains. As I saw the fog, I watched it and I looked up, and there, standing at the foot of my bed, was Jesus, with his arms outstretched, with the crown of thorns on his head. And he said, Connie, why don't you ask me into your life? I looked at him and I said, Jesus, please come into my life. As I said that, I felt heat pouring over my head, going throughout my entire body. I was crying and sobbing, and I realized he didn't say to me, I'm coming into your life. He asked me. I had made a decision to ask him into my life. And as I did make that decision, I believe it was my last knock.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Connie Benson McNally. We are going to have more of Connie's incredible story next week on Testimony. You don't want to miss this. Thank you, Connie, for being with us. And we look forward to the rest of your story next week.
Thank you, Jensine.
If Hollywood wanted to make a movie called Last Knock, this would be it. Fortune and fame, Rolls Royces and jewels, a world champion backgammon player and teacher to royalty and entertainment's elite, Lucille Ball, Toadie Fields, Frank Sinatra, the Connie Benson backgammon tournament, jet-setting trips to Monte Carlo, baccarat, yachts, and traveling the world. James Bond, anyone? Lucille Ball was a dear friend, as many were, in her world of glitz, glamour, and entertainment. But it would prove to be empty, as we heard last week in part one of the testimony of my next guest. Would you welcome back to Testimony, along with husband Bill, from their beautiful home in Rancho Santa Fe, founders and owners of the McNally Company Antiques, former publishers and current editor emeritus of Silver Magazine, philanthropists, and grandparents to Glory, Brindley, and Cade, son Doug, and daughter-in-law Catherine, and my gift from God friends, ladies and gentlemen, Connie and Bill McNally. Connie and Bill, welcome to Testimony.
Great to be here, Jensine.
Thank you, Jensine, for that wonderful introduction.
Well, it is well-deserved in my view, and I know in many others. First of all, I want to thank you and Bill for the wonderful and powerful testimony both your lives have represented to me at a time when I was looking for answers in my young adult life. And as a result of your obedience to share the gospel that so dramatically changed your life, mine and many others were forever impacted and changed. And for that, I will always be grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
As a recap for our listeners who may have missed part one of your incredible story, Connie and Bill, you are about to end your life when Jesus appears to you. As a result of your radical transformation, 27 people come to the Lord within a span of 2 months. You've shared this news with Bill, but now the battle for your marriage, your business, and your very lives are just beginning. Starting with you, Bill, would you please tell us that story?
Well, my story started when I laid eyes on Connie at the World Backgammon Championships, and I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life. And that was in January, and we were married in July. So it was kind of a whirlwind time, and I was swept up into Connie's very glamorous world. And the first party I went to, Kirk Douglas grabbed my arm and said, "You better take good care of her. You're in big trouble with me." We were going to parties with Barbara Sinatra, and I just became way too important to do any kind of menial work. And as a consequence, we were working in the backgammon world, and nothing we did worked properly. And in a very, very short period of time, because it was a very jet-set world, we were $40,000 in debt with no money coming in, and our marriage was just falling apart quicker than we ever thought could happen.
Now, Connie, to go back to part one, you didn't really get a chance to finish your testimony. Jesus appeared to you. You asked him into your heart. You called the 700 Club, and the lady there asked if you had a pastor. You said, "No, but I have George McLean." Now, George had given you and Bill a Bible for 7 years in a row, and it didn't mean a whole lot to you, but that night, it meant something to you. Can you talk about that a little bit? And then let's go back to the time where you and Bill are married and you're facing life together now as two born-again believers.
George had been giving Ralph and I the Bibles for 4 years, and then when Ralph had passed away, George gave me a Bible for the next 2 years. And then when I married Bill, George gave both of us a Bible. I never opened any of these Bibles, and when I finally did, they were all different versions of the Bible. I just was asked by the lady who I called, because I had turned the TV on. I didn't know what time it was, and I'd been crying all night, and Bill woke up, and he said, "What happened?" And I said, "I saw Jesus." And he said, "Oh, that's great." And I turned the TV on to see what time it was, but no picture came on. A voice came over and said, "If you just ask Jesus into your life, call this number." I was shocked. I called the number. I got this lovely lady on the phone, and she said, I told her my story. I was sobbing and crying. I couldn't stop crying. And she said, "Darling, do you have a pastor?" I said, "No, I don't have a pastor, but I have George McLean." So I immediately hung up and called George. It was 6 a.m. I awakened him, and I said, "George, I just saw Jesus." And he said, "Praise God. Jeannie and I have been praying for you. We're having a Bible study tonight, and we'd love for you to come." Well, we were being evicted that day. I wasn't sure I could make it to a Bible study. And I said I would let him know. So Bill heard this, and he said, "Well, I think you should go." And he said he'd go with me. So we went to the Bible study. And at that Bible study, it was filled with people I'd known over the years in Palm Springs, from up at Ralph's or whatever. And I was surprised to see them there. And I told them what had happened to me.
When Connie woke up in the morning and told me that she saw Jesus, I thought our marriage was not good, but I thought that was the end of it, because I didn't want any religious fanatic. But I couldn't deny that there's something different. Her countenance was changed. She literally changed. Her features changed. And it just continued on and through the day and through the weeks to come. And there was just a dramatic, incredible change in Connie that I saw and a lot of other people saw.
Well, I'd been a sinner among sinners, and I just had the Lord in me now. And my whole face changed, and people saw it and wanted to know what happened. And I shared with them, and they received it and accepted Jesus. 27 people I knew.
Wow. And I remember when I first met you and Bill, I wasn't struck so much by what you said, but the Jesus I saw in you. I thought, that's real. That's the Jesus that I want to know. And Connie, that's the Jesus that changed your life. You are a born-again, spirit-filled believer. You've been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So has your husband, Bill. You've been married now 37 years.
Yes.
And in business together at McNally Company Antiques. And along the way, what would you say to someone listening to you right now that doesn't think it's possible? They're in a bad marriage. Their business is going down the tubes. They're in debt. It seems overwhelming to them. What advice can you give to those that are listening in that situation?
It may sound simple, but it's true. Give it all to the Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is faithful. And he has certainly been faithful to us these 37 years. We got out of debt. We've prospered because we love the Lord, and you can't outgive him. And it's been quite a journey, and it just gets better with each year.
Now, what has kept you two from quitting, from giving up?
Our faith in God.
Yeah. No other place to go.
No.
And how important is the Word of God? If a Christian is listening today, they're not in their Bible, they're not going to church, they're not pressing in, talk about that.
We start every day reading the Word together, every single day. And it's paramount in our lives. And if you don't know what the Lord has in store for you, what the promises are, what He has ready for us, you can't press into Him.
And the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It separates spirit from soul and bone from marrow. That's from Hebrews 4:12. And it's the truth. The Word of God is what sustains us. We stand on His promises because they're all in there. Those are love letters to us from Jesus.
And I saw the change in both of your lives for myself. I saw the transformation. Your son, Doug, saw the transformation. A result of the change in your life, he gave his heart to Jesus. His friend Walter gave his heart to Jesus. It had a ripple effect. What would you say about the importance of being obedient?
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. You have to be obedient to the Word, and God will bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Connie and Bill McNally. There is so much more to their story. It's the type of story that movies are made of and should be. You can learn more about Connie and Bill's life and their story by going to the McNally Company Antiques. God has blessed them above and beyond what they could ask or think or even imagine. God delivered them, healed them, set them free, prospered them, and has used them. The Word says that we are blessed to be a blessing, and God has used them to bless multitudes all across this nation. You're going to hear a song that was written especially for Connie from your host. The song is called What I'd Been Looking For, and ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard the testimony of Connie McNally. She found what she was looking for. Thank you, Connie. God bless you. God bless you, Bill. And may God continue to super bless your lives and your witness for Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Jensen. God bless you.
Forging right ahead, relentless, forgetting all the consequences. Thinking no one cares, so why should I? bottled up with mixed emotions, scars and hurts and silly notions of what I thought true happiness would be. And through it all I fought the crying, while deep inside my soul was dying for someone to reach out and say they care. Living life a fantasy, ignoring its reality, had kept me from the pain I could not change. Then you broke right in, and I cried and cried and cried, but that's okay. The tears I shed turned into healing, and like a bomb flowed through my veins, releasing me from all the guilt and shame. And that once I knew your love was true, and I never had to feel this more again. And like a movie's happy ending, I knew my life was just beginning, and that I'd found what I'd been looking for. And you broke right in, forgave my sin, and I cried and cried and cried, but that's okay.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.